time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
All right. It's the Vintage Truth Podcast, and thank you for listening so much. We're talking about the Antichrist, and I'm just giving you just a flyover on these mountain peaks as to what the Bible says about the coming Antichrist here. And listen, also, just wanted to tell you that if you haven't had a chance to check out the Prophecy at Sea cruise that we're doing in September, hey, just go there. Just go and check it out just for entertainment purposes. You can see a video about the ship that we're going to be on. And there's going to be five of us prophecy speakers on this cruise. And it's just going to be a laid back, fun, aloha kind of time down in the Caribbean. We're going to go to Cozumel and Costa Maya, and we're going to be on this big ship. And it's just going to be fantastic. Myself, Donald Reagan, Billy Crone, Don Perkins, and Tom Hughes are all coming together. And we want you to join us. It's going to be incredibly affordable, and everything you need to know about it is on prophecyatsea.com. So check that out. Okay, let's talk about the Antichrist. We're just, again, giving sort of a character sketch about who this person is and what he will do. And so, you know, one of the things that's going to precede the Antichrist is going to be a huge sense of chaos in the earth. You know, crisis is one of the things that that really births leaders and births opportunists. And much like Hitler did in pre-war Germany, where he took advantage of a horrible economic situation and turned a lot of that around for the German people in order to gain their support. And then he turned against them and did all these horrible atrocities. In the sense, the Antichrist is going to do the same thing. You know why? Because Satan is the father of lies. He's a great deceiver. That's what he does. I mean, that's his shtick. And the Antichrist is going to be no different. In fact, he's going to capitalize on the mass global panic that's going to grip the earth and nations following the disappearance of hundreds of millions of people in the twinkling of an eye. And they're going to have many explanations for this rapture thing, but the bottom line is this guy's going to present himself as the answer. So, and the way he's going to do that is by talking about peace and safety, because those are the two things that are going to be robbed from the earth when the rapture hits. So what's this guy going to be like? Well, Daniel 11, Revelation 13 tells us that he's going to be a charismatic influencer. He's going to have a golden tongue. He's going to have the charm of Barack Obama. He's going to have the charisma of a John F. Kennedy. And yet he's going to have the ruthlessness of an Alexander the Great. It's all going to kind of be rolled into one person here. You know, today, millions follow and blindly follow these faux celebrities, these people who are just famous for nothing, you know? And people pledge themselves, they pledge allegiance to empty suit politicians making equally empty promises. If it's happening right now, do you have any idea how desperate people are going to be after the rapture? And into this vacuum, this void, steps somebody with some answers, somebody with some help. And so the mass of humanity is going to follow this mesmerizing man in history that's going to hypnotize them with his demonic charm and influence. He is everything that a godless, secular world has ever wanted, meaning a man who can deliver peace, economic hope, political leadership, and globally uniting alternative to Christianity. He's going to do it all. So he's going to be a charismatic influencer. The Bible tells us he's going to lead the world into a global economy. Daniel 11 or Revelation 13 tells us that. He's going to, we don't know exactly how he's going to initially do that. It may have something to do with all these kingdoms coming together under this unified coalition. And, you know, it may just may be as simple as, hey, in order to survive, we've got to come together. We got to help each other. We got to pool our resources and help our people get through this thing. And he is eventually going to control every person who buys and sells anything from a mortgage payment to a stick of gum. He's going to be in charge of that. Scripture tells us that he's going to broker a peace treaty with Israel. You know, right now there's turmoil in Israel. The nations that are surrounding Israel right now, are many of them are threatening Israel, and most of them, with the exception of Russia, are Muslim nations. Oh, wow. Go figure that. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 38 that these very nations are going to one day come against Israel along with Russia. But that's a whole nother story here. But it says he's going to broker a peace treaty with Israel, and later he's going to break it. Daniel 9, Daniel 12, Revelation 6. He's going to bring this peace to Israel. And Israel is going to enter into this peace treaty with the Antichrist. And how he's going to do that, we don't know yet. Because right now, the Muslims are controlling a portion of the Temple Mount. Specifically, the Mosque of Omar sits on the spot that traditionally is believed where the Jewish temple was, and specifically the Holy of Holies. And that's kind of a sacred spot for the Jews. It's the third most sacred spot to Muslims, because they believe that Abraham, from which they supposedly trace their faith eventually back to that day, they believe that Abraham sacrificed Isaac, and that Muhammad also rose from that very spot on this rock that's there. But here's the deal. Somehow, some way, he's going to broker this peace treaty, and the Jews are going to get to rebuild their temple. And if you don't think that's a reality, then you hadn't been paying attention. The Temple Institute, you just go to templeinstitute.org, I believe. You can see plans for the temple they've already drawn up there. And I've already talked about that in a previous podcast. But they're in the process of doing that right now. What do they need? They need some document, some legislation that's going to enable them to do that. And the thing that's going to enable that to happen is the peace treaty brokered by the Antichrist. Now, it's very important that you understand this, that the signing of that treaty is officially what starts the tribulation period, not the rapture, okay? The rapture is going to happen, but there's going to be some interval of time between the rapture and the signing of that treaty, because the treaty is going to be for 7 years, and that's how long the tribulation period is. So we don't know how long it's going to be from the rapture and the post-rapture chaos and panic that's going to take place globally during that time. It could be weeks, months, could be up to a year or more. We don't know. But at some point, he's going to step into that void and sign that peace treaty. And, you know, there's a lot more that we could say about that right now. But let's move on to a couple other things about the Antichrist that are very interesting. Scripture tells us that he's going to be killed, but he's going to rise from the dead. Revelation 13 and 17 tell us this. And this will be, I believe, around the midpoint of the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. And Scripture says that he will suffer a fatal wound inflicted by a sword. Now, we don't know the exact nature of this event, but John, in his construction, his Greek construction, he sees this wound as being very violent and deadly. In fact, it's the exact same word used to describe how the Lamb of God was slain. That's how violent this attack is going to be on the Antichrist. And some Bible commentators believe that this is going to be a faked assassination, or it's going to be something that Satan is going to use to deceive people into thinking that the Antichrist was killed. Why would he do that? Well, because then when he raises him from the dead, it's a true miracle, which proves that this guy is the person that you should be worshiping now, because who can rise from the dead except for God, right? And so some Bible commentators believe this is going to be a satanic ruse, because they say Satan does not have the power over life and death. He doesn't have the ability to bring someone back from eternity once they've died, okay, back from the grave. Other people say no, this is going to be a unique event in history, in prophetic history, and Satan is literally going to bring this guy back from the dead, and he's going to be allowed to come back so that he can further deceive the nations, and under the sovereignty of God, which it tells us all throughout Revelation that it was given to him. It was given to him, meaning God is the one who controls ultimately what happens in this scenario. So other commentators believe that it's going to be an actual death and an actual resurrection. Now, again, this is going to be used to mimic the real Christ, okay? Because think about it from an historical perspective. Here we are right now, and you talk to people about Jesus, they go, oh, well, that was 2,000 years ago. You can't believe that. Those guys made up those stories. We can't trust in their, you know, their eyewitness accounts or what they wrote in the Bible, because it's been changed a million times and no way you can, you know, validate that. Guess what? This is going to happen in real time to the world, and they're going to see it happen. They're going to see the fact this guy was dead and now he's alive. And so he's going to use that to mimic the real resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay. And what this resurrection will do for him, it's going to rocket his fame to an all-time high, and he's going to waste no time capitalizing on it. And so, in fact, the Bible tells us in Revelation 13, the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. I mean, they're going to go gaga after this new God of theirs. And ultimately, it's their worship is going to be towards Satan in reality. But this, and think about it, this has been Lucifer's aspiration. This has been his dream from the moment that he rebelled against God in heaven. He has always wanted to rule the world, and he's tried to do it in many different ways through many different men, but he's failed every time. Guess what? He's not going to fail here, because think about it. The principle is this here, okay? Someone says, hey, worship me. You go, get out of here. But if they raise from the dead, guess what? Now they've got your attention. And this is going to be kind of the ultimate way that the Antichrist person, this man, is going to get the world's attention. Because the principle is this: the greater the awe, the greater the worship. The greater the awe, the greater the worship. Do you know why Christians are so lethargic in their worship? And I'm not talking about standing up on Sunday morning and singing songs, okay? I'm talking about Christianity and how Christians give God such little adoration in their lives today. Why? It's because we know very little of God's power. We're not awed by God today. We don't see him working through the church. We don't see him working through other Christians. We don't see him working through our own lives. And so as a result of that, you know, we're just not very excited about God. And that's why we need to be in the scripture with our minds open to receive God's truth and to contemplate and think about. Don't just read scripture. Think about what you've read and be in awe of a God who could do the things that the Bible says that he has done, and of the God that he is. Be in awe of his very character. So anyway, the principle is the greater the awe, the greater the worship. And guess what? Here's a guy who rises from the dead. There's going to be a lot of worship, and they're going to say, the earth is going to say this. Revelation tells us that they're going to say, who is like the beast? Who is like him? Answer, no one. They're going to say, who is able to wage war with him? Answer, no one. And this ascribing of glory directly parallels Old Testament declarations of God's glory as well. I mean, in fact, you can read in Exodus 15:11, Psalm 35:10, Psalm 113:5, Isaiah 40:18 and 25, Isaiah 46, on and on throughout the Old Testament. These are the exact words used to give glory to God. And what did Satan say in his original rebellion? He says, I will be like the Most High. And what did he say in the garden to Adam and Eve? You're going to be like God. And what's he saying today to everybody else? You can be in charge of your own life. Worship yourself. It's only you that really matters. Yeah, who is like the beast? The answer is no one. He's unequal. He has no peers. And Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 4 of this kind of arrogance. He says, he will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God claiming that he himself is God. Now that is a bizarre, almost unbelievable statement, but here's something that even is even greater than that. The world will accept it. They're going to believe it because he rose from the dead, and because his sidekick, the false prophet, is showing great signs and wonders from heaven, fire from the sky, and because he's going to erect an image, the false prophet is going to erect an image of the Antichrist in the temple, and he's going to make it come to life and to wow the nations. And on top of all that, he's going to kill you if you don't worship him. So they got all these things going for him, right? So, yeah, he goes into the temple, and that's what Jesus called the abomination of desolation. That's what is referred to in Revelation chapters 11 through 13. It's going to talk about, it talks about how the Antichrist will invade the temple and declare himself to be God. But that's not all he's going to do. Scripture tells us that he's going to make war with the saints. Yes, the answer to the question is, will people become Christians during the tribulation? Will it be too late? No, it's not going to be too late. You know why? Because the grace of God is greater than you could ever imagine it to be. Now, here's the problem with that. The problem with that is that right now it's relatively easy to be a Christian in a lot of countries. It's not in some countries, but it is relatively easy in our country. You're not killed for being a Christian in our country. And when you profess faith in Christ, you don't get your head chopped off. But watch this. Those who embrace loyalty in Jesus and not the Antichrist during the tribulation will pay dearly for that loyalty. They're going to be hunted down, arrested, thrown in prison, and executed. Revelation 13, 7 through 10 and verse 15. And it says that aside from believers, first of all, it says no believer will take the mark of the beast, which we're going to talk about in the next broadcast. But it says that the names of the redeemed are written down in God's heavenly book from the foundation of the world, and that they will resist because they will have a changed heart and a God, a new God. And, you know, this persecution that's you know, directed at those who believe in Jesus during the tribulation, it's not the official bride of Christ. The bride of Christ has already been raptured. These are going to be a different category of saints. And John tells us in Revelation that God's sovereignty is the truth that's fueling the perseverance and faithfulness of these persecuted believers. In other words, if they didn't believe in God's sovereignty, he's going to take care of them eventually. He's going to take them to heaven when they die. There was no way that they would be able to survive. Oh gosh, there's so much more I could say about this thing. You know, the scripture tells us that in Revelation 13:5 that the Antichrist is going to be a man of unimaginable blasphemy. You know, we're seeing a lot of blasphemy right now. You know, I saw this report where Gloria Steinem, the infamous feminist, was given this award, and recently, and the award was a mold in the golden mold or metal mold in the shape of a vagina, and the metal was melted down from all these purity rings, supposedly that girls and Christians had and put into a vagina so that you can be your own God and do whatever you want to with, quote unquote, your body. There's the viral #ShoutYourAbortion that went viral here a couple of years ago. There are states right now that are legalizing abortion up until the very moment of a child's due date and their birth. And there, you know, there's so much blasphemy against the Creator. And see, that's where it begins. You know, eventually they're going to blaspheme the name of Jesus publicly. And they have done that. They've, you know, the Democratic Party, and this is not a political rant, but the Democratic Party has officially kicked out God from their party and embraced this whole idea of humanistic, paganistic philosophy. I'm not saying that the Republicans are perfect or anything, but I'm just saying, you know, that's part of this. But eventually they're going to blaspheme the name of Jesus. But right now they're just blaspheming the Creator. They're blaspheming the Creator. You didn't make us. Get out of our country. Get out of our schools. Get out of our government. We don't want to be one nation under you in any stretch of the imagination. And to show that you're not the Creator, we're going to say we have the power over life and death. We will decide if we want to slaughter our children. That's just part of the blasphemy. That's what's going on right now. Wow, listen, there's so much more that we could say about this Antichrist and the things he's going to do, his other names, and the way that he's going to delude and deceive the whole world. But suffice it to say that there is coming a man that's going to make Adolf Hitler look like Walt Disney, and he's going to deceive the nations, and you're going to love him if you're living during this time. And you're going to follow him and give him your heart. That's how deceptive this guy is going to be. So that's a little bit about the Antichrist. There's so much more to say, so much more deeper that we could go. But next time, we're going to talk about the mark of the beast, 666. What is it? How could it be administered? And what's it going to look like? Well, we'll talk more about that next Vintage Truth Podcast. Thanks for joining me. God bless. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.